Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com and worldwide, including the Armed Forces Radio Network.
How this show has grown from, you know, maybe a couple hundred to over 40,000 people. And yeah. That's fantastic.
From coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.penlive.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Gamma's Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Toy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vibach Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Del Boar Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Because we are in Florida and we got beautiful weather here. The highs have been in the upper 60s and the lows have been in the upper 40s. And it's just gorgeous down here in Florida for the holidays. Although it's supposed to rain Christmas Eve a little bit and then clear up. And we should have a beautiful Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So welcome to All About Wine. If you have any questions, you want to call in, you want to talk to us, 646-727-3235. You'll let me know you're in. We'll go talk for a second and I'll bring you on the air. So this is live. We are now on December the 18th at 7:03 Eastern Time. So if you're listening to this right now, you're listening to us live. If you're not listening to us right now, then you're listening to us on archive. So don't call. We can't listen or talk when we're on archives. Mike's still not with us. Sad, but he's still not with us. He is still stuck doing his job at the big theme park over in Orlando, and it's a busy time of year for him, so he's got to take care of that. But you can always tune him in, RadioDJMike.com. Check it out. He does a program every Friday and Saturday nights from 7 to 9. Takes requests, talks, listens, all sorts of goodies there and everything. So tune him in, check him out. See what's going on there. We have been talking to Utah for the last few weeks. I said I was going to tell you about Utah tonight, and I didn't. I didn't look up the stuff and everything to tell you about Utah. I really should have, and I apologize because, hey, I forgot until just now. So I don't have the information here in front of me, and I'm not going to try to look it up while we're talking because I end up losing a screen or something. So we don't have information about Utah I was going to give you, but we do have another guest of Utah. He was not available tonight. He said he had a Christmas party coming up or an event or something this evening, and he was going to be tied up with that. So he wasn't available, but we are not quite finished with Utah. We've been talking to him for the last 3 or 4 weeks and some real good conversation, a lot of fun, some great guests and all that. And we will continue to do so on our next show, which, by the way, will not be for another 3 weeks. Whoa, that's sad. I should have had my music there on that. And somebody, on January the 8th will be our next program. Next week, December 25th, we're not going to do a program because of the holiday. The following week after that, January the 1st, again, a holiday. So we will be back on January the 8th. So mark your calendars and come back and join us, and we will be on then. Tonight, we've got just some general information, some stuff to talk about, just a few things to go into here, bits and pieces, and ending up the year with a little bit of odds and ends here that I want to get you caught up on. And then we'll jump into the new year. And also on January the 8th, we will be celebrating, let's see, our sixth year on Blog Talk Radio doing this program. There's been some periods in there where we didn't do shows because of different events and things happening and all that. And we've had our technical difficulties, and we've had different things that happen all the way through and all. But 6 years, we're still here. So coming up on January 8th, we'll be celebrating 6 years on Blog Talk Radio with the All About Wine. Actually, we started All About Wine on another internet carrier whatever they're called, back in about 7-8 months before we got on Blog Talk Radio. But then they, I don't know, something happened, and we found Blog Talk Radio, and we've been thrilled with them, and they've been very good to us, and we've had some good relations, and they're throwing us in as a featured program and stuff, which, you know, thanks to you all out there listening to this, we're a featured program because we have the listeners out there too, again, for listening to the program. And no special things, no birthday cakes, no door prizes, no anything for our birthday party coming up on 6 years. But we'll hopefully Mike will be back with us, and we can enjoy a little bit of sixth party spirits or something like that day. So again, thanks. When we come back in January, it'll be the 6th. So tonight we've got a few things, like I said, a few things to go through, a few things to talk about, a few things just to hit on lightly here. First one I want to do is something I just read, and I'm going to tell you about this. I just saw this today, as a matter of fact. It is the scarcity of vineyards and land in Napa Valley is causing the prices to go through the roof. A local real estate expert says that the price per acre in Napa could reach Burgundy levels within the next 20, 30 years. Said that within 30 years, we are going to see Napa Valley vineyards and acres selling for $1 million, and that's $1 million per acre. To put that in perspective, Burgundy's Grand Cru vineyards sell for that right now. So, and one of the reasons is it's so scarce, you can't get them. I mean, you know, once it's there, it's there. There's no extra land or anything, and nothing else that's going to cause it to be able to do it. John Bergman is a vineyard real estate agent in the Napa Valley, and he said that it's not making any more land. So who has the vineyards in Northern California is theirs, and that's it. The restrictions to plant more vineyards are becoming more strict, And that's going to make it even harder to get yourself vineyards and land there. Napa, I don't know if you're aware, but has some pretty strict planting and tasting room rules and all that, as do almost all the areas of California. Paso Robles, if you were listening, what was it, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, when we were talking, no, it wasn't that long, it was just a couple of weeks ago, when we were talking to our guest who said he tried to open up a vineyard in Paso Robles, and he couldn't do it. They wouldn't let him do it. So, it's happening not just there, but also in other areas in California, Sonoma and Livermore and Napa. So, current vineyard prices in the best areas in Napa sell for about $300,000 per acre. With locations like Oakville and Rutherford going up to about $350,000 an acre. Average Napa vineyard prices are almost nine times what they were just 26 years ago. So if you'd gotten something then, prices also rise in Sonoma, but not as rapidly, almost four times since 1987. Most vineyards are selling just short of the $100,000 per acre, but prime coastal Pinot Noir vineyards are going for $125,000 an acre. And when you start, that's for Sonoma. When you start comparing that to Napa, that is really quite a bargain. Napa vineyards are being bought by lifestyle buyers who want to live in wine country and eat in the fine restaurants and live the life. Also, he's saying that a lot of Asian investors, particularly mainland Chinese, are looking at buying land in Napa to shelter their money. It's a good way to hide it from the Chinese government, basically. And so they have buying vineyards in Napa, which is going to cause the prices to rise, your supply and demand. The winery buying more grapes for themselves, that's really a non-emotional purchase. The lifestyle buyer will come in for the grandeur of living in wine country. Maybe they want to make 60 cases of wine with their name on it to give to friends. And so that's what they're doing. Even in some Napa vineyards don't appear to provide enough yearly return to justify their prices, but the constant rise of the market still makes them a good investment. Vineyard prices rose constantly until the 2008 real estate crash, and it took 5 years to return to those pre-2008 levels, but it is there and they are on their way up. Investment buyers realize they have to hold on to the vineyards for 10 or more years, but that's okay because they can do that. High prices in California are one of the reasons why Oregon is selling so much land. People are jumping up there to try to beat the prices and get it there. I won't editorialize yet. The Oregon vineyards are comparable to quality of Sonoma Coast at about one-third the cost. Said that Pinot Noir vineyards continue to appreciate in value because of many young drinkers that prefer that over the Cabernet Sauvignon. And so that's one of the reasons why the land rush hasn't hit Washington State quite as hard, because Washington makes more of the Bordeaux style, our Bordeaux variety, and Oregon is noted for the Pinot Noirs. The areas in the United States and all that will soon catch up, but right now, Napa and Sonoma are the highest quality wines made in America, arguably, and the prices are not going to go down unless people just quit buying them, and that will not happen. So, and one of the things there that I was going to editorialize on a little bit, we've talked about global warming on the show a couple times, not a lot, but we've hit upon global warming and how it's going to affect the different areas and growing areas. And they're saying that Napa, by the year 2050, is going to be too warm. You're not going to have the perfect evening and day temperatures that you do now in Napa. And the Willamette Valley in Oregon will be the new quote unquote Napa. So I guess if you're looking at buying land, Napa, it might be a good idea. But I think if you're looking for long-term investment, they're saying here in 30 years, which is going to put us close to the 2050, you might look at Oregon a little bit. But that being said, we have some real estate, our always fun, always enjoyable real estate section. We haven't done this in a few weeks since we've been talking to wineries in Utah, but it's time to do this. So let's, I need some sort of, well, there's no real estate music. Is there something we can think of that's real estate music? I don't think so. But we got different things for you. As always, I've said this before, I will say it again. As always, if you are interested in this, email me or call me or something, and I will give you contact information. And keep in mind now, you can get yourself good buys and hang on to it for a few years. You can have yourself one heck of a good return on your investment. First, we have Placerville Vineyard Estate, a pristine Placerville. Placerville is the foothills. You're heading on up to Lake Tahoe. Placerville is up in that direction there. Placerville was a big mining town many years ago. Beautiful little town, by the way. Placerville is just a gorgeous little town. All sorts of stuff there. Placerville Vineyard Estate, 24.5 acres with two parcels. So they're probably separated, it sounds like. 9.4 acre vineyard. And that's planted in Chardonnay, Riesling, Cabernet, and Merlot. I would assume Cabernet Sauvignon. It includes a custom home, a pond, an ag building, and storage. Farm equipment included. And that's only $729,000. What a buy. That really is quite a good buy. So if you are interested, just let me know. The Placerville Vineyard Estate is available there. Next one we have for you is a Colibri Ridge Winery and Vineyard. I'm not sure where Colibri Ridge is, so I'm not going to comment on the location. I'm not sure. But I think that's in the foothills also. 21.3 acres with 5.8 acres of vineyard, 3,600 square foot winery building, tasting room. Equipment is included. It is planted in Tempranillo, Syrah, Primitivo, and Vernet. So that's only $950,000. We're below that $1 million mark on that. So there you go on that again. So there's a couple of them up in the foothills. We got some more for you here. Fredericksburg, Texas vineyard land. Now, this is, we've talked to Texas wineries this past year, and they said if you want to make money, plant grapes in Texas. They'll buy every single grape you've got there. So here's 112 acres at $6,550 an acre. Which, you know, for vineyard land, that's good. Ideal soils, great water, and huge, in capital letter, views of the valley. Near Highway 290 to Fredericksburg. So no land, or no buildings or anything, but definitely a vineyard land there. So that's in Texas. Again, if you're interested, get in touch. 5.5 acre luxury estate and vineyard. This is 76quaillane.com. If you want to check it out, 76, the number, 76quaillane.com is a hideaway luxury retreat tucked away in Alhambra Valley and backs to Briones Regional 6,000 acre park. If you want privacy, love to entertain on grand or intimate scale, and a passion for making and collecting wine, it is all here for you. Boy, this is really, I like the way she writes this. 8,000 bottle wine vault and 1,800 degree temp controlled finished wine cellar luxury plus masterful design and craftsmanship. 7,048 square foot multi-level one-of-a-kind estate. Price to sell, $3,088,000. Wow. And so, interested, let me know. That is the, you can check it out again, 76QuailLane.com. Next one we have for you here is Lake Chelan View Winery and Vineyard. 38-acre estate winery and vineyard, five varietals overlooking Lake Chelan. Chelan, C-H-E-L-A-N. Massive custom log home, wedding venue, two tasting rooms, horse stable, and pasture. It's in the Lake Chelan AVA. Health issue forces the sale. So it's not any reason except for the fact that the owner has to get out because of health. Asking only $3,200,000. You can get that other one with all that other good stuff, but that's only 5.5 acres. This is 38 acres. El Dorado American Viticultural Area. 18-plus acre parcel has 7-year-old Petite Syrah and Tempranillo. Wonderful views. 2,400 square foot home, only $575,000. A foothill winery, 40 acres, 15 acre vineyard, cash flow positive, tasting room, equipment, and inventory included in the price. 3-bedroom house, peaceful setting, but no price, so I don't know what it's going to rent. There we go. Alexander Valley AVA Gym. This two-parcel property, approximately 20 minutes from Hillsburg Plaza, offers a rare opportunity in Sonoma Valley wine country. The property features two homes on approximately 112 acres with potential for subdivision. Water is supplied by two wells and a spring. A Victorian farmhouse on the lower parcel dates to 1906 with 5-bedroom, 2-bath, large formal dining room, living room, and kitchen. Plenty of storage space accompanies a full-size attic and basement with a large barn and detached garage in close proximity. A second 2-bedroom, 2-bath, hilltop ranch-style home oriented for maximum sunlight and views crowns the ridgeline. An elegant outdoor deck and dining area overlooks approximately 6 acres of Syrah and Cabernet Sauvignon vines with Alexander Valley and Dry Creek appellations. The vineyard is fenced with 4x8 spacing, 3-wire vertical trellises, drip irrigation, and additional plantable acres are available. Take a tour at, and here's the website, www.alexandervalleygym.com, Jim, G-E-M, alexandervalleygym.com. So there you go. Check it out. If you are interested, I'm sure there's contact information on the website, or give me a call. I will get you in touch with the right person. Sounds exciting. I love these descriptions. Washington's Horse Haven Hills, or Heaven Hills. Opportunity to purchase large acreage of open irrigated cropland for wine grape development within the Horse Heaven Hills AVA in eastern Washington. The Horse Heaven Hills AVA, never heard of Horse Heaven Hills, but there's a lot of them I haven't heard. We haven't talked to Washington yet either, and that could be one of the reasons. The Horse Heaven Hills AVA produces high-quality wine grapes for numerous wineries in the PNW. Pacific Northwest, by the way, PNW. Get in touch if you're interested in our wanting more information. I'll give you contact information. And the last one for you, Vineyards and Estate Home. Oakstone is one of the premier vineyards in the Fair Play AVA wine region. Professionally managed with 9 grape varietals, including Cabernet, Malbec, Pinot Grigio, Cabernet Franc, Charbon, Merlot, Petit Syrah, Dossetto, and Carmenere. Carmenere, that's interesting. The award-winning fruit is pre-purchased by both local and Napa Valley vendors. Property includes a 2,500 square foot home and building pad for future winery. You can check it out at www.oakstonevineyard.com. Oakstonevineyard.com. There you go. Those are our real estate properties for this show and actually for this year. We're done. We'll get some more next year, I'm sure. We'll have some more to talk about. But that's real estate property. If you are interested in any of those, email me or call me or something. I'll give you contact information and you can get them yourself. And again, prices of Napa are going up, so you might look at some of those. Pierce disease, the glass wing sharpshooter. We've talked about Pierce disease. We've talked about the glass wing sharpshooter. The problems with it, I'm not going to get into details with it here again. If you're not familiar with it, it is on past episodes. You can check it out there. Or, you know, email me. We'll do another episode on it and tell you more about it. But a referendum vote is due next April, this coming April in Napa, to continue the, every 5 years they do a referendum vote to continue monitoring and checking and all that stuff for Pierce disease. And it's coming up in April. It's been voted in for the last three votes. They expect no problem, but they said that they haven't found anything. It's a lot of money and all that. So maybe they might vote against it. Who knows? Here's something else that's great. FedEx will begin on February the 1st shipping wine to Massachusetts. That is odd because Massachusetts has all sorts of laws and everything. They announced that they, just today, as a matter of fact, that the state of Massachusetts for legal shipment of alcohol, FedEx and FedEx Express will both transport legal alcoholic beverage shipments into and out of and within the state of Massachusetts starting February 1st. They point out, though, please note unauthorized shipments of alcoholic beverages destined for Massachusetts prior to February 1st delivery date may not be accepted for delivery or return to the shipper. So don't try to squeeze something in for the holidays. It's not going to work. All alcoholic beverage shipments must be tendered by licensed entities that have executed a FedEx alcohol shipping agreement, which basically are wineries. So that means that you can't do it if you're not a winery. All alcohol beverage shipments must comply with the FedEx regulations, state, local, and federal. And wine is the only type of alcoholic beverage that is allowed to be shipped to consumers. So you can't throw in your jug of shine and ship it to Massachusetts. It is not legal. So starting on February the 1st, Massachusetts will start getting some shipments in, out, and within by FedEx. I am sure that UPS will be following shortly, or definitely trying, so that they can get their finger in the pie. So there you go. Massachusetts is going to start allowing that. The Russian currency is falling, so the wine prices are shooting through the roof in Russia. And elsewhere over there in that part of the world, it is becoming a concern with them and with people who ship to that area. What, there's not a lot of people from the United States to ship there. A lot of their wines come from Europe and stuff like that. And so it's sales are dropping because of the Russian currency is falling through the floor with all that's going on with it. A few things here. I've brought this up before on different shows and new products that are out, new wines that are coming out and all that. Since it's the holidays around here, you might check it. Speaking of holidays, I'll talk about this in a few minutes. First, let me talk about the Devil's Blend, Castello Diablo, Del Diablo, certified by Concha de Toro, as imported into the United States by Excelsior Wines. The new Casero Diablo Devils Collection targets the younger generation of drinking age. The collection includes a 2012 red and 2012 white wine, both are blends. The red wine contains blends of Carmenere, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Syrah. What? That sounds good. And it's from Chile's Rapella Valley, and the white wine blends Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, and Gewürztraminer. Well, that seems like an odd combo to me. And that's from the Casablanca Valley. Each variety sells for approximately $15 for the 250 milliliter, which is a good price. So those should be on the shelf. Check them out and pick up a bottle if you're interested. Sounds good to me, though. Another one, Oak Infusions. This is Diego Chateau and Estates, part of the Diego line of woodwork wines that showcase the influence of oak on different varietals. Available in Cabernet Sauvignon, Chardonnay, and Pinot Noir varieties, the wines were aged with oak staves instead of in oak barrels. And the staves provide robust flavors and have a low impact on the environment due to increased efficiency and performance compared with traditional wine barrels, the company says. They also permit the winemaker to introduce oak flavors to the wine in a measurable and repeatable way, allowing for experimentation in a variety of blends. So these three are available. Good chance to pick them up. They got the Chardonnay. People, you know, pick it up, the Cabernet, Chardonnay, and Pinot Noir. Most red wines are usually a little bit of oak anyway. But this will give you an opportunity to really see what the oak does, because that's what they're doing. They're making these oaks so you can have a chance to say, oh, so that's the oak I'm tasting. So those are available. Woodwork by Diego Chateau and Estate Wines. Selling for a retail approximately $14.99 a bottle, $15 a bottle, which is a reasonable price. We talked about this, I don't know how long ago. Mike and I were talking about this. Wine in a can, Pinot Noir and Pinot Gris, and by Union Wine Company out of Oregon. Underwood is it called. I've been looking for wine in a can. I've visited some different places and all that. Nobody's heard of it, and if they have, they haven't gotten it in. It's supposed to be Story Manufacturing Company. It's supposed to be the one that's doing it, and it's distributed. It's supposed to be distributed around the country. I haven't found it yet. If you have seen wine in a can, if you have had wine in a can, and for those of you who didn't hear the program talking about, it's Underwood is the name on it. Coming out of Oregon. It's actually a lining on the can, so you're not going to get that aluminum can taste. There is an actual lining on it. But if you've had it or if you've seen it or something, email me. Let me know. Let me know what you think of it. I haven't been able to find it. I've been looking for it. I haven't been able to find it anywhere. So it's out there, and it's no fuss can for everyday consumption, they're saying, and it's convenient and it's easy, and let's see, what size is this? It looks like a 12-ounce can, but we don't talk ounces when we talk about wines. A 375 milliliter recyclable aluminum can. And so it is, the can is lined inside with an epoxy resin that acts as a lining between the wine and the aluminum, preventing the taste and all that. So Underwood, it says on UND, and then the next line ERW, the next line OOD. That's what's on the can. But if you find any, if you happen to check it out anywhere, if you happen to run across it or something, let me know. I really am curious about that and where it is and what it is and what it's like. I did find, though, the single-serve PET stemware for wine, and that's something else we talked about in the past, where is a PET or the plastic stemware. It's shaped like a glass, and it's got this little everybody has seen the little plastic champagne glasses where the bottom comes off of it. And it's just that little plastic thing. I'm sure everybody's seen that. It's they're everywhere. And then, you know, and if you've ever been to any type of event, sometimes they're there. But this is what this looks like. It's just a little PET, P-E-T is, I say PET, and then, you know, that's the plastic thing. But it's an injection molded glass, and it's got wine in it, and it's wrapped in plastic, and you just peel the plastic off the side, open it up, take off the lid, and the lid goes down on the bottom for a more steady balance, and then there's a little plastic thing, that little paper thing that peels off the top. And I saw one, rather expensive, by the way, for a, well, obviously it's the uniqueness of it that really makes it so interesting. But I saw one and I tried it, and it was a Pinot Noir, and yeah, it was, it wasn't, you know, I mean, for the amount of money I was spending on a glass for a Pinot Noir, I would have much rather spent more money and got a better wine. It wasn't, it wasn't bad, don't get me wrong, but I would have wanted something better, and especially for the price and stuff like that. But it's the uniqueness of it. I picked mine up at Total Wines, and it was a little bit expensive, but it was something that was unique. And if you see one, and it's sort of fun to say, hey, look what I got. But don't expect something great. And that's the only one I saw, only wine, too. One is the Pinot Noir. I didn't see anything else in it. That was it. Check out wine.com.br. That's Brazil. They are exploding. It's a retailer out of Brazil, and it's just a fun thing to look at. So check that out and see. Just peruse through the site wine.com. Wine.com.br for Brazil. Here you go, another Bernard Ricard of USA is bringing a line of premium French sparkling wines stateside. They're tapping into the healthy mid-single-digit growth in the imported sparkling wine category. The company says that their new line of Café de Paris is the number one French sparkling wine, and it's from the Bordeaux region. The brand was established in 1967, and it's built on that. With about 10% alcohol by volume, it is slightly sweet and taps into the emerging category of fruit-flavored sparkling wine. PRUSA is targeting the millennial female consumer looking for a more premium option in this category. It's available in pear and pomegranate flavors. Sparkling wine, pear and pomegranate. Interesting, but it is, it should be on the shelf now. This is, this was from a couple months ago that was dated, so it should be on the shelf now. Skinny Grape is expanding its 330 milliliter PET bottles. They have came out again. Here we go with the low calorie Skinny Grape, which is only available in 750 glass bottles, and so they are coming out with a new size, a 330 milliliter PET bottle. It's a ready to drink. It is, all the good qualities of the plastic, if you will. It's only 90 calories, and it's, what's the flavors? I'm trying to find, I can't read the bottles on this picture here because it doesn't really say. So I don't know, but Skinny Grape. Skinny Grape Spritzers. So there aren't flavors. Skinny Grape is out of Canada, actually. So something to look at. Skinny Grape Spritzers. Same company that makes the Skinny Grape wines and the 750, these are available. And the 330 milliliter. I brought this up lots and lots of times before. This is the last time I'm going to bring it up this year, unless they start the program again next year. But this is the last show of this year, and so I'm going to tell you one more time. Gallo. They're collecting corks to help fight senior hunger. This is actually the fifth consecutive year. I didn't realize that until I saw this. Consumers are invited to send in corks to the Gallo Family Vineyard Corks, or Gallo Family of Wine Corks. And you can find it on their website, gallowines.com, and it lists all their corks of that, or all the wines that are in their family. If you send it in by the end of the year, for every cork, they will donate $1 to the Senior Meals on Wheels program. And they've made an additional donation of $100,000. And to help start the campaign, and they hope to make this a lot more through the initiative of people sending in corks. So, if you have any Gallo corks or something, send them in. I have been collecting them. I'm telling the people at the winery to bring them in if they don't want to sit. And I've got about 250 from people bringing them in and from different sources, and I'm going to be packing those up and sending them in probably Monday. Yeah, more than likely. Well, no. Yeah, Monday. So, good cause. Yay, Gallo. Good for you. Fantastic thing that they're doing. Fifth year in a row. But again, Gallo Family of Corks, and get them in there, and we'll get you they'll get $1 to Senior Meals on Wheels, which is a great cause. Red, White, and Blended. Wine Group announced a new collection of super premium wines sourced from California and Italy. The new Chloe wine collection includes a 2013 Valdadige DOC Pinot Grigio, 2012 Sonoma County Chardonnay, and 2012 North Coast Red number 249, which I don't know if it's any significance. The Pinot Grigio comes from the northern Italian region of Valdadige. The Chardonnay features grapes grown primarily in Sonoma's Russian River Valley. And the red blend contains Syrah, Merlot, Petit Syrah, Zinfandel, and Petit Verdot varietals from the vineyards throughout the north coast of California. A 750 milliliter will be approximately $16.99 and expected to be available now. There you go. New ones, Red, White, and Blended, they're calling that. So, those are available. Let's see. And I'm putting a date on these things, so I know that I've talked to you about them, and I don't want to repeat them. Another new product. Here we go. This is the best of the West Coast. Crimson Wine Group is taking wine blends to the next level with this new Luminary wine blend. The wine consists of red wine varietals sourced from four different regions in two states. The blends include Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot from Pine Ridge Vineyards in Napa Valley, Syrah from Double Canyon and Horse Heaven Hills, Washington. Hey, you can own yourself property there and maybe contribute. And a Syrah from Chamaisi Vineyards in Edna Valley, California. And the Zinfandel is from Shangisi Family Vineyards in Alexander Valley, California. As a result, Luminary showcases the regions that offer the best representation of the respective varietals, the company says. The 750 milliliter bottle retails for approximately $45. That sounds like an interesting wine, all those different blends. And But they're getting them from so many different places. I wonder how they're getting them in, how they're sourcing them, what they're doing with them, all that. That would be interesting. Crimson Valley Wine Group in Napa. They got a phone number here. I may call them and see, talk to them more about that as we get into the new year. That might be an interesting call there. Holidays are here. You're going to have yourself parties. You're going to have yourself a wine. Just FYI, the 750 milliliter bottle of wine, how many persons? Generally, one drink per person per hour is a good estimate of for the beverage. If you have one person, a half a bottle. If you have 12 people, 3 to 6 bottles. 24 people, figure 6 to 12 bottles. You're looking at a case of wine for 24 people, and that's only 12 bottles and a half bottle. 36 people, figure 18 bottles. 48 people, 24 bottles. 60 people, 30. 72 people, 36. And 84 people party, plan on 3.5 cases or 42 bottles. So, sure you have enough. There are going to be some non-drinkers on your parties, though, so be sure to have something for them. And also, plan on something for your designated driver. Drink responsibly, remember. So, have something for your DD. And enjoy that. Oh, let's see. I got a couple other quick things here, and then we're going to close out and tell you about our Christmas party coming up here. And wish y'all a happy birthday. Let's see. Oh, those are the PET bottles, too. Another PET bottle that's becoming popular on wine is the paper bottles. Oh, speaking of paper bottles, Paperboy. Paperboy is the new paper bottle that they have out there. I tried to find that, and I could not find that anywhere either. I don't know if it's available or if it's just on the West Coast. Or what's going on with that, but I can't find that. That's another one, too. If you've seen it, if you've had it, let me know. Contact me, email me, Facebook, any of that stuff. Let me know. Couple of things here, since it is the holidays. Serving temperatures for your wines. Let's go through this just real quickly here, just so you know. We don't want you to serve the things wrong. Red wines, a light red wine, 58 to 62 degrees is recommended. The big heavy reds, 63 to 65 degrees. Half hour in the refrigerator for the big heavy reds. 40 minutes or so for the light reds. That'll do it. White wines. Your light white wine, which is just about everything you're drinking. 48 to 58 degrees. If you're looking at the heavier, full-bodied Chardonnays and Semillons and stuff like that, a little bit warmer, 54 to 58 degrees. Sparkling wines, 40 to 45 degrees. You want that chilled. And your dessert wines in the mid-50s, but your ice wines and your port and your sherries and all that, slightly chilled, 65 degrees. Don't serve them room temperature. Nothing is served room temperature because there is no such thing as a standard room temperature. So get that refrigerator opened up and pop those wines in there. Don't forget them. Don't leave them in there, but get them out so that they can be served at the right temperature. Let's see what else. We have an event coming up this weekend. It's our annual Christmas party, or I should say holiday party, because it involves not just Christmas, it involves all the holidays. And so it's a good chance to come by and see us. We don't have cake. We had cake at our birthday party, but I think we're going to be giving out some door prizes just for I can't find it. Oh, here we go. Wine Fest. Here we go. Be back in a minute. I'll play you this.
Coming up this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., it's Wine Fest at Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Come out and enjoy the live music. Relax with a glass of world-class wine. Participate in an informative wine tasting with Ron. Have fun and shop our vendors offering many unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Winefest is a great time to pick up unique gift items. Enjoy your weekend with us at Winefest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From I-75, take exit 285 and turn west for approximately 4 miles. See you Saturday at Winefest.
All right, so there we go. We are all... Shut up.
Coming up this...
I hit the button too many times there. Just turned it back on. So this Saturday, we have our holiday party. So come out and visit us. We got a lot of vendors. We got, 19 vendors there this week. This is a big bunch of them coming out. Weather is supposed to be beautiful. The high is supposed to hit 70. The rain's not supposed to hit us until late in the evening. So it's not even a threat of rain during it. And there's just all sorts of goodies going on and everything. And good chance to pick up some last-minute gifts there and enjoy some wine and relax. The holiday season tends to stress everyone, so come out to the winery and do a tasting, and you can pick up a glass of wine and go out and shop while you're drinking wine, and just enjoy yourself and relax for the holidays. All the family and friends are probably coming into town. Bring them out too, and enjoy the day. So we'll look forward to seeing you Saturday at our holiday wine fest. And I have a class coming up on Monday, this coming Monday, which is just 3 days away. Wasn't sure if I was going to do one, but there is a class coming up on Monday. It's from 1 to 4. If you're interested, give me a call. We talk about a whole bunch of stuff, and it just keeps you informed. And Wine 101, but it's just really a very interesting class and a lot of fun. I just enjoy teaching it, and people always seem to enjoy attending it. No, I don't give you a certificate saying that you graduated, but it's still a fun class anyway. So that is coming up this week. On Monday, I'm doing it. And I think that's it. I can always find other things to talk about, and I can keep you busy for the next couple of hours, but I'm not going to. I'm going to let you go here. And have yourself a wonderful, safe holiday season. We've got all sorts of holidays coming up here. Hanukkah started Tuesday at sundown, so Hanukkah is going on. Christmas is happening. We've got the first day of winter, which is coming up on Sunday. So those of you who celebrate the winter solstice, it's coming up on Sunday. Kwanzaa begins on the 26th. New Year's Day is the first, and New Year's Eve. Plus, we've got Boxing Day in Canada. I believe that's coming up before we're back. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm not sure when that is, but Boxing Day is coming up. And there's a bunch of other stuff, little things happening. So enjoy yourselves. Have yourself a wonderful, enjoyable holiday season. Be safe out there. Don't drink and drive. That's a no-no. Something else. I got a minute since I mentioned drink and driving. It just dawned on me. The United States is thinking about implementing a new law that will make the legal limit for drinking drop from 0.08 to 0.05. That is absurd. That basically one drink. If a 110-pound woman has a cocktail and gets into the car and drives and is given a breathalyzer test, she can be arrested for a DUI. That's how low that is. It is it's really, really too tight, too low. It's going to create problems. The reason they're looking at that is because they're looking at putting in a breathalyzer before you can start your vehicles on new vehicles. And they're trying to get a standard on that. And so they're pushing this through. But, you know, I mean, you know as well as I know that the people who are going to drive drunk are going to drive drunk, regardless of if that is at 0.05 or if it's at 0.08, because most people out there who are causing the accidents and stuff like that, they're saying, oh, their breathalyzer test showed up at 1.2 or some unbelievable number like that. It's not going to make a difference. So, you know, if this thing starts going on further, they start looking at this, lowering the standard a little bit. I'll try to keep on top of it. I'll try to let you know. Get a hold of your congressman. Get a hold of your representatives. Tell them, hey, look, this is too low. This is ridiculous. Not that I think we should be able to drink and drive. It's just the fact that if you do have one drink, it could put you in jeopardy of losing your license. And that's not right. So we've already repelled prohibition. We don't need to go back into it again. So, but I'll keep on top of that, and I'll let you know what's going on with that. But keep an eye out for that if you haven't heard that. So have yourself a wonderful holiday season. Have yourself wonderful parties and all that stuff. Be careful. Don't drink and drive. Find a designated driver or call a cab if you think you've had too much. There's all sorts of different programs out there, especially for New Year's coming up. Different programs. So if you do think you've had too much, they give you free cabs and everything. So I want you to be out there to be my listeners, and I don't want you to create any problems or anything for yourself or for others. Have yourself a great holiday season, a wonderful New Year's, and we will see you back here in a couple of weeks.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Follow the Armed Forces Radio Network on Twitter at the AFRN and on Facebook at facebook.com/Armed Forces Radio. Thank you for listening to this show. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.